Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's in the middle of the hot summer right now in August, and maybe you're thinking about taking a trip before you have to go back to school later this month.
Mm.
So if you got some time on your hands and if you got some money, hey, you might want to consider flying off to Europe. Are you going to go to France? Are you going to go to London or Germany? No, you're going to go to the Netherlands.
Yeah, I've actually been in Amsterdam once. I think I was there for about 3 days when I was in college. It's a pretty cool town. It's very clean. I remember thinking, wow, a lot of flowers, a lot of tulips. I was there at the right time of the year. Yeah, they've got the canals there, kind of fun to see. They've also got a lot of names that Tom and I had to look up because we're not really sure how to pronounce them. So you're looking at some Dutch words, so don't be afraid. Do your best with them, and people will appreciate that you at least tried.
I should know some Dutch because my grandmother spoke Dutch as a child.
Really?
Because she spoke Dutch to her mother or her grandmother who came from Holland way back then. But she said she didn't speak Dutch for many years after that. Mm-hmm. But in any case, we are going to the Netherlands today. It's a wonderful land of water. If you like water and canals and windmills and tulips and wooden shoes and stuff like that, well, the Netherlands is the place for you. So, hey, let's check it out. Let's read the entire contents of our lesson right now, and we will be right back. The Netherlands, informally known as Holland, is a small country in northwestern Europe that is largely known for its tulips, wooden shoes, windmills, and cheese. It borders Germany to the east, Belgium to the south, and the North Sea to the northwest. The Netherlands' location along the sea has greatly impacted it throughout history, both through forcing its people to create ingenious canals and dams, and by helping it become a naval and colonial power. Crisscrossed by the Rhine, the Waal, and the Meuse rivers, the Netherlands is prone to flooding. Things are worsened by the fact that 27% of its land sits below sea level. To make their land more habitable, the Dutch built windmills to help with water drainage. Today, about 1,150 windmills dot the Netherlands landscape. With the water carefully kept at bay, the Dutch have learned to utilize it in a way that brings prosperity. The country's rivers and long coast gave rise to trading over the centuries, leading to the Dutch expanding and colonizing overseas in the 17th century, known as the Dutch Golden Age. The term reflects the Dutch Empire's successes. After all, it held land in the Americas, Africa, India, the Middle East, and Asia, including Taiwan. The Dutch Golden Age is also noted for its tolerance. The Netherlands was the first European country to develop into a genuine democracy, for example. It's also long been a haven for the arts and has held a deep-seated thirst for knowledge, as evidenced by its population's high literacy rates and flourishing publishing industry.
Okay, guys, we're going to be talking about the beautiful country of the Netherlands for the next couple of days. It's a wonderful land of water. Now, I don't know about our listeners, but I was always confused about the difference between the Netherlands and Holland. What is the difference? Well, the Netherlands is made up of 12 provinces, and two of them are considered to be Holland. But the biggest cities in the Netherlands are located in those two provinces. We've got Amsterdam, of course. Rotterdam is also a big city. And then the very famous city, The Hague, which is where an international council gets together and makes decisions for the world. So we've got the Netherlands here, and we're describing it as a place where you'll find lots and lots and lots of water, which typically means it's a pretty place, too.
And don't forget Apeldoorn, which supposedly is where my ancestors came from the Netherlands.
I haven't heard of Apeldoorn.
It's kind of a smaller city, but I've never been there, so I wouldn't know. But in any case here, yes, the Netherlands are also informally known as Holland. Of course, here in Taiwan, you do refer to the Netherlands as Holland or Holland.
Oh, interesting.
But they call themselves the Netherlands. If you see them competing in international competitions, their sweatsuits are going to have the word Nederland written on the back, not Holland.
Well, I hope I explained that clearly. Holland is just two of the provinces. So if you're talking about the entire country, you have to say the Netherlands.
Yeah, that's what my grandma used to say. Yes, Holland is a part of the Netherlands.
Hmm.
It's not the whole thing, but some people use those terms interchangeably.
True.
But in any case, it's a small country in northwestern Europe, and it's largely known for its tulips, wooden shoes, windmills, and cheese. So tulips, that's that kind of flower that's kind of closed on the side and open on the top, and they come in many different colors.
So pretty.
My grandmother loved to grow tulips. Mm. Also wooden shoes, also referred to as clogs, right?
Right.
I don't know if they really wear them nowadays.
They do.
Probably. Oh, they do?
Yeah,
huh?
They still wear them.
I mean, actually in daily use?
Oh, yeah. They're not traditional clothing. Yeah. It's like the Japanese, they have their little wooden sandals, right?
Yeah, but you don't see the Japanese wearing those to the office, though.
Well, listen to this. I was on a train over there last year, and there was a really elegant man who's probably 45. He was wearing those on his feet on the train. So,
okay.
Yeah, they're something that they consider comfortable.
Okay.
Although I don't think clogs are that comfortable.
Well, we had a Japanese foreign exchange student stay with us years ago who brought some over for us to try out. They were kind of difficult to walk in.
I agree.
But in any case, we're not talking about Japan.
Yeah.
We are talking about Holland, though they've got wooden shoes just
clogs,
like the Japanese.
Yeah.
I guess they wore them in Taiwan for a while there as well. They've also got windmills there.
Oh, before you go on, Tom,
yes.
We've got these very famous shoes now. I think they're really ugly, but they're called Crocs.
Are they made out of wood?
C-R-O-C. But they're also shaped like a clog.
Okay.
They're made out of plastic, of course, which is kind of gross. But
fair enough.
Yeah, if you can't picture a clog, think of Crocs.
Okay, and also windmills, of course, those are very famous in Holland. Fengshe, as you call them in Chinese. Windmills are quite common in travel posters for Holland, and also they're famous for their cheese. I didn't know that. I thought just the French were famous for their cheese, but I guess they make some cheese in Holland, too. Let's also talk about the Netherlands. It borders Germany to the east, Belgium to the south, and the North Sea to the northwest. Notice here the word border is being used as a verb. It borders Germany to the east. In other words, the border between Germany and the Netherlands is in the eastern part of the country or the eastern edge of the country. So, yeah, I guess if you get bored of the Netherlands, you can pop over to Germany for a stein of beer, go down to Belgium for some waffles, and go for a swim in the North Sea. Now, the Netherlands' location along the sea has greatly impacted it throughout history, both forcing its people to create ingenious canals and dams, and by helping it become a naval and colonial power. So, yes, because it is located along the sea, that has greatly influenced the history of the Netherlands, or we could say it has greatly impacted it. Here we have the word impacted, which is serving as an adjective from the verb to impact, which means basically to have a very strong influence.
Right. So both through forcing its people to create ingenious canals and dams, and by helping it become a naval and colonial power. So that's how the sea has impacted or had an influence on the country throughout its history. When you're talking about a canal, it's an artificial waterway that's constructed by people that allows boats and ships to go through it. Think of Italy and the city of Venice. They have a lot of canals in Venice that they get on, and that's how they get around the city.
There's the Suez Canal in Egypt. There's the Panama Canal. There's some big canal in China as well.
Oh, really?
And the Erie Canal in New York State, I believe. And Bangkok, supposedly, supposedly still has a few canals as well. But Holland has all sorts of canals. That's what makes Amsterdam famous. Also, we've got dams. A dam, of course, is something that holds back water. There are dams, of course, here in Taiwan with the reservoirs. And, of course, also its location along the sea has helped the Netherlands become a naval and colonial power. Mm. Yes, a naval power means they've got a strong navy. You don't want to mess with them. They're going to sink your ships if you're not careful. At least that was the case in the past. And they were also a colonial power. Colonial means having to do with colonizing different parts of the world, which a lot of European countries did. They colonized the Americas. They colonized parts of Africa and Asia as well. We usually think of the French as doing that or the Spanish, but the Dutch were busy doing that as well. They had colonies in various parts of the world, but I'm kind of hard-pressed right now to think of where they had their colonies. I guess Indonesia was a Dutch colony, right?
I bet our listeners are all sitting there going, hey, the Dutch came to Taiwan, and they colonized Taiwan for a while. They were able to get rid of the Spanish that were here for a while as well. So they've got some colonies around the world. Let's move on to the next paragraph. It starts out by saying, crisscrossed by the Rhine, the Waal, it's pronounced with a V sound and not a W, and the Meuse rivers, the Netherlands is prone to flooding. So if you crisscross a place, it means you go back and forth. And here we're talking about these rivers that are crossing and crossing again the country. So there's a lot of water. If you're prone to do something, you're likely to do that thing. And notice here, if you say the Netherlands, although it looks like the Netherlands is plural, you use a singular vowel, guys. So you don't say the Netherlands are. You say the Netherlands is, and it's likely to flood there. They've got too much water.
Right. And, of course, we could say that Hualien is prone to earthquakes as well. That's why a lot of people don't want to move down there. And things are worsened by the fact that 27% of its land sits below sea level. That doesn't sound good, so that makes things worse. Things are worsened by this fact. To make their land more habitable, the Dutch built windmills to help with water drainage. So they want to make the land more habitable. Mm. If something is habitable, that means you can live there and you can produce things and you can grow crops and stuff like that instead of worrying about floods. And the windmills help with drainage, which means you get rid of the water. You need to have good drainage in areas, say, like Elon, when it rains a lot. You need to get that water out of there and into the ocean so people can continue with their lives.
Yeah, drainage is a noun form that we don't see as often. It talks about the whole process of water disappearing or leaving a place. But you'll see in Taipei, at least, that's where we live, you'll see a lot of drains. So when it rains hard, if you look towards the side of the street, the pavement, you can see where the water's going underneath the ground through these little grates and through these little round circles. Those are drains. Mm. So that helps keep the flooding back a little bit. So today, they've got about 1,150 windmills that dot the Netherlands landscape. They're not the ugly windmills that we see for the wind energy. These are old windmills that have been there forever, and they actually are a big symbol of the Netherlands. If something's dotting the landscape, it means you see a lot of them here and there. We've got a lot of convenience stores that dot the landscape in Taiwan. Right now, guys, we're going to take a quick break, listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back.
Hi everyone, my name's Jenny. 今天我们看的是第九单元。好，第九单元要谈一个与水共生的国家，荷兰。The Netherlands. Netherlands 这个为什么会这样称呼呢？其实它的本意就是低地国。这个低地国也造就了今天的荷兰。那我们要来看看荷兰，基本上我们有时候不叫它 The Netherlands， 我们可能称它为 Holland。 这个 Holland 是它非正式的英文名字。好， known as， 我们就先谈这个片语。当我们用这个片语说 A is known as 后面加名词，这就表示说是以什么样的称号，以什么样的身份角色而闻名。那再来他就说了，那他有名的 是哪些特点、哪些特产等等。他用到另外一个 known for, 就在下一行这边 known for is tulips, etc. 这个 for 介系词就告诉你以什么特色而得名或闻名。那这个地方当然我们都晓得，荷兰的确它很有名的就是像它的郁金香、它的木鞋、它的风车还有它的起司，这些我们都知道是荷兰的特色。那接下来就要看荷兰地理位置上，它呢东边是德国，它的南边是比利时。那我们来看这些地理位置的时候，注意到这个介系词To the east, to the south, to the northwest. 像你在讲方位，你说，诶，它往北是什么？往东是什么？那中文可能会讲东边、南边、北边是什么？但是介系词 to 要记得哦。好，再来，那我们提完了荷兰的地理位置，要来看看这样子的地理位置其实也就造就了，诶，这个国家呢，他们必须要用他们最厉害的功法来运用他们的运河，然后让这个国家成为海军殖民强权。这个部分哦，就是我们说到说荷兰呢，它有所谓的临海的位置，然后造就了它的历史。好，接下来我们就看下一段。那谈到了这个荷兰，它的这个荷兰的地方里头有好多条河啊，这三大河纵横交错，所以在荷兰其实它很容易有水灾。那我们来看看这个容易有水灾这个片语 be prone to, 要注意哦， be prone to, 这个 to 像一个介系词一样，它后面呢会加名词或者是 ving, 表示容易有什么的倾向。再来下面就说到了，他的这个国家呀有 27% 的土地是低于海平面，所以这可能让这种洪水的状况更恶化了。不过荷兰人就因为这样，所以他会想办法，比如说他用人他建造风车来帮助排水，这可以说是荷兰很大的成就。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
We shall now continue with our lesson. We are describing the Netherlands, and we've been talking a little bit about their history. They were a naval power and a colonial power, and they're famous for their canals and dams. And of course, because it's crisscrossed by all those rivers, the Netherlands is prone to flooding, and so they've got all those windmills to help with water drainage. So you can see windmills all over the place.In the Netherlands. Now, with the water carefully kept at bay, the Dutch have learned to utilize it in a way that brings prosperity. So here we've got the phrase to keep something at bay. That means you keep something or prevent something from causing trouble. So because they've got this ocean right there that would just love to flood the Netherlands, because 27% of the Netherlands is below sea level, well, they need to keep it away and to stop it from causing trouble.So they need to keep it at bay. So they've kept the water at bay. It's not causing trouble. So they've learned to utilize it, which means to use it for your advantage. Mm-hmm. And they're using it in a way that brings prosperity. That just means fortune and income and stuff like that.
This phrase, keep something at bay, I think of health and sickness when I see this sometimes. Someone has a fever, you don't want it to get worse, you want to keep the fever at bay. Or maybe, you know, fell down and hurt your ankle, there's a lot of swelling where it gets big and fat. You want to keep the swelling at bay by taking some inflammation medicine, you know, something that will help the swelling. So you don't want it to get worse. So that is often used when you want that sort of a meaning or interpretation to keep something at bay. Let's move on to the sentence here that says the country's rivers and long coasts gave rise to trading over the centuries. If you give rise to something, it means it becomes more prevalent. You see it more. It happens. So it gave rise to trading over the centuries. Countries back then would get in big boats and ships and take their products, whatever they produced, and use it to trade with other countries that could grow crops that maybe you couldn't or maybe they couldn't grow what you had. So they would trade with each other. And that led to the Dutch expanding and colonizing overseas in the 17th century, which is the 1600s. And this was known as the Dutch Golden Age. I think that's when they came to Taiwan.
I would imagine so. And the term, the Dutch Golden Age, reflects the Dutch Empire's successes. Okay, so here we've got the word reflect.
Yeah.
That does mean for light to bounce off an object, like a mirror reflects light.
Mm.
And the noun form is reflection. But here reflects just means to embody something or to represent something. So it basically just stands for or represents the Dutch Empire's successes. Okay, the Dutch Golden Age means that Holland, or the Netherlands, was very successful during that period of history. After all, you know, you have to admit this is true.
Mm.
The Netherlands held land in the Americas, Africa, India, the Middle East, and Asia, including Taiwan. So yes, indeed, they had colonies in the Americas. I think Dutch Guiana or something is one of their colonies. New York City, of course, was once controlled by the Dutch. That's why it was called New Amsterdam at one time. And a lot of place names in New York City are Dutch.
Mm.
Africa, they were in South Africa. Parts of India and the Middle East, I think they were in around that strait. What's that strait called? The Strait of Hormuz or whatever. Also Asia, which includes here good old Taiwan.
Yeah.
There are still vestiges of Holland being here in Taiwan as well.
It's true. So that's why they call it the Golden Age. The Golden Age of anything is when something is at its prime. It's at the height of its success. The Golden Age of radio was in the 1930s in the U.S. So we use it quite often to talk about when something was really most successful and moving along at its height of popularity, too. So it's kind of interesting to think about because nowadays the Netherlands, you know, they're kind of quiet. You don't hear a lot of news coming out of the Netherlands. But they had their day, and that was back in the 1600s when they were really successful. I think after that, the British kind of took over and were going around the world and taking over colonies. The British were quite powerful at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So the Golden Age is also noted for its tolerance. If something is noted for something else, it means that particular thing was well-known or famous. So the Golden Age also meant, oh, there was a lot of tolerance back then. If you tolerate something, that's the verb form of this noun, tolerance. It means you're willing to accept the existence of something or other people's opinions, even though you might not agree. You allow people to have their own opinions. You want friends who are very tolerant, I think. Sometimes parents don't want to tolerate their kids not doing their homework or being naughty and misbehaving. We don't want to tolerate too much, but if you have tolerance, you accept things that you probably wish weren't like that or don't agree with.
You can put up with a lot of things, and the Netherlands was the first European country to develop into a genuine 100% bona fide democracy. For example, okay, democracy, of course, is a government for the people, by the people, and of the people. That's what democracy is. The whole
no
population.
Kings or queens. And back then, all the countries had kings and queens and emperors.
Yeah, people in power and stuff like that. They let everybody have their say, have a vote. And the Netherlands has also been a haven for the arts. And has been a deep-seated thirst, or has at least a deep-seated thirst for knowledge, as evidenced by its population's high literacy rates and flourishing publishing industry. That's what's going on now. It's a haven for the arts. Of course, we've got some museums and some famous artists who have come from the Netherlands, and the Dutch people are pretty mellow as well. I'm sure you've run into Dutch people when traveling.
Yeah.
They're very laid back, very relaxed people. They're not loud and obnoxious like some people we know. And they're, you know, pretty cool to hang out with. And, you know, they've got some places in Amsterdam, coffee shops where you can stop in there and really mellow mellow out, if you know what I'm talking about. And they've got a thirst for knowledge. They want to learn a lot of stuff. And also, this is evidenced by their high literacy rates, which means to be evidenced by means this proves that something is the case. Mm-hmm. Literacy is how many people in the population can actually read.
And write, and both. Write. Yeah. We know that China wanted more of their people to be able to read and write. They wanted to raise the literacy rate in China, so they turned to the method of using the simplified characters, which were easier to learn. So, and if something flourishes, it's very, very successful. We hope that people listening who are starting out in their careers will be successful and that their careers will flourish. So if it flourishes, something develops well and is very successful. That's just day one, guys, of our two-day unit or two-day lesson on the Netherlands, a wonderful land of water. Right now, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher one more time, and then we'll be back to wrap up.
好，那我们继续来看，提到荷兰这个地方地势低，然后容易有洪灾，所以呢，他们怎么样来帮助这个地方让排水状况变好？他们盖了风车。那这边就说到了，这个荷兰的水呢，就很小心的让它不要来影响荷兰的发展。这里 with the water carefully kept at bay。注意到这个前面的句构 with 这个接系词，它后面呢会接受词，受词后面接补语，表示一个状况，或是附带的条件等等，我们常常用 with O 再加 OC 这样的句构，而这里的 OC 也就是说它的这个补语位置是 KEPT， 这个 kept 其实是个过去分词，那讲的就是这些水呢是被很小心的让它可以维持在什么样的状态，可以维持在受到牵制的状态，因此就让荷兰这里可以繁荣。那接下来呢，他又提到了荷兰呢，它有很长的海岸线，然后所以它国跟国之间的贸易其实发展的蛮好的，这也让荷兰它之前曾经是很强大的殖民别人的国家。那我们看到这里有一个片语 lead to， 而且这个 lead to 加了 ing， 我们看到这个句构上其实这就是一个分词片语，而这个分词片语为什么，当然是因为你连接词 and不见了，那你就会要把这个结构上改成分词作为修饰语。好，那我们谈到荷兰的历史上，这可以说当它成为一个很强大的一个荷兰帝国，一个荷兰殖民国的时候，它真的是它的黄金时期。好，那最后呢，就要看到荷兰它当然基本上黄金时代是一个帝国，可是它也是第一个发展成为真正民主的国家，这一点我们不能否认。而最后就告诉大家，今天我们也谈到荷兰呢，它其实我们要知道它是一个艺术的避风港，而且呢这个国家的人他其实还有强大的求知欲，那怎么看得出来呢？最后这里 as evidenced by， 这个 as 就是正如同，正如同后面这里这两个点可以证明，证明的出来。好，记住哦， as 这里就像准冠带，它其实是一个连接词。好，今天的讲解就到这边结束，我们下次见。
That's it for today, everybody. Thank you for joining us, but please join us again next time when we continue to talk about the Netherlands, a wonderful land of water. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.